Hi, this is Jim with today's edition of Concert Billboard for Tuesday, September 11th. At the Brokerage in Belmore is John Hammond. That's at 8:30 p.m. And tonight, midnight, starting at midnight, tonight, is Local Insomniac Music right here on 90.1 FM with a special tribute to 9-1-1. In the city for Tuesday, 11th, at Gramercy Theater is Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. And teaming up at the Mercury Lounge are The Great Kid, Oliver Future, and The Crews. Coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, September 12th, in concert at Jones Beach is Aerosmith and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And at Central Park's Rumsey Playfield, it's Amy Winehouse. And what else? The Skylights are performing at SOB's. That's coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, the 12th. For Thursday, September 13th, at the Knitting Factory's Tap Bar, it's Lee Rocker of the Stray Cats and Grayson Craps. And Gaelic Storm is at Lion's Den. And Friday, September 14th, right here in Stony Brook at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, that's at 380 Nichols Road, it's Cadillac Moon. That's an 8:45 p.m. show. And the Pure Prairie League is performing at Bolton Center in Bayshore. And coming up this Saturday, September 15th, at the Berkner Hall at Brookhaven National Lab, it's Commander Cody and Professor Louie and the Chromatics. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on this Saturday. Smith Point Park in Shirley is a ContractorsForKids.org benefit, starting at 12 noon with a bunch of bands. There's also the Sea to Beach Blues Festival going on. And at Bolton Center in Bayshore is John Ford Coley and Terry Sylvester. And also this Saturday, September 15th, at Pisces Cafe in Babylon is Roger Silverberg and Hank Stone. And if you want to know about more shows, go to our website, WUSB.FM, and click on Concert Billboard. And if you're doing a show and you want me to know what show it is and you want to announce it right here on 90.1 FM, well, you're not going to announce it, I will. If you want it announced right here on 90.1 FM, send me an email to scene@wusb.fm. And here's the question of the day. Why are all dumb blonde jokes one-liners? The answer is so men can understand them. And thanks for listening to WUSB's Stony Brook.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Actually, that's a lie. You're not. Stay tuned. It's time for Off the Wall. guess an explanation is in order for the strange remarks I just made, that in fact you're not listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. You know why? Because we're not on the air. We're not on the air at all. We're just broadcasting over the internet now, and I'm not exactly sure why. Nobody's telling us anything. Yeah, it's September 11th, so it's got to be part of some kind of conspiracy, right? If you tune in to our station right now in Stony Brook, do you hear static? No, you don't hear static. You hear this. You hear some other radio station, which is taking over. And I think this is living proof of how our signal is in such bad shape that we get a strong signal from another station every time we go off the air. But that's what's going over now. And, you know, it's not legal for me to broadcast over the radio while rebroadcasting another station's signal. But I'm not broadcasting over the radio, so the FCC rules don't apply anymore. Isn't that something? I'm going to keep it on in the background throughout, because that's the only way I'm going to know if we go back on the air. There are no updates or notices or anything like that, so I don't know what exactly is going on here. What we're going to try to do, since this is September 11th, and I've been looking forward to doing this show for months, I swear it must be some kind of a curse, because every time September 11th comes around, there's some reason why we can't do radio. Now, obviously, the first one, we all know what happened then, and I'd like to sort of reminisce about that day. And then the next year, we were scheduled to be on WBAI. However, the entire day was preempted so that they could do one long program that basically said the same thing over and over again. So we weren't able to do it then. And this is the first time that I've been doing radio that's fallen on September 11th. And guess what? I'm not doing radio. I'm doing internet. And I don't think it's the same thing. I just don't. All right. Before we get into that, though, something else. It's been such a strange day. Such a strange last couple of days, both for me and it seems the world. Today, though, in New York, it's just been this horrible, rainy, gloomy day. I've heard thunder like I never heard thunder before. It's not like thunder claps. It's just like a consistent roll of thunder in the distance. And I don't recall ever hearing it sound quite like that. Very ominous, very gray, very sad and depressing. And add to that the loss, the more recent loss that we felt. Maybe not a lot of you have felt it. I don't know. I'm not quite sure of the demographics of our listening audience, but I sure felt it. A lot of people I know felt it. And I'm talking, of course, about the loss of this voice.
Sempre amabile, leggiadro vivo, il mio
Wow. Of course, the voice of Luciano Pavarotti, who passed away last week, and it just made me so sad because there's just something about watching him and listening to him, just to feel the passion behind the music and the vocals. And you don't have to be into opera. I'm not a big opera person. In fact, I'm not an opera person at all. Most of my friends, I think maybe 0.5 of my friends, meaning half of a person, actually like opera at all. But there's something different about when you hear something like that. And another voice stilled, silenced. It's really, really sad. That was called La Donna e Mobile. And I know I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. I don't know Italian, I'm sorry. It's from the opera Rigoletto. And there were two songs I wanted to play, and I was kind of debating which one to play as the outro, and I figured, well, why not play both? So I played this one at the beginning of the show, the other one I'll play at the end of the show. So, yeah, you know, I was already depressed because of that. And now we got the gloomy weather. Actually, you know, I usually like gloomy weather, but there's something different about today's gloomy weather. I've never quite seen anything quite so gloomy. It's also because I have a super case of jet lag. I just got back from Malaysia and Singapore a couple of days ago. And to do that, you have to fly. Oh, yeah, can we turn it on? Is there nothing there? Hi. How you doing? Are we on the air? Is that us or is that another station? I can't tell.
All right, right now I'm on the air with Frank.
You're on the phone with Frank. This is the air. That's the phone. Okay. Yeah. Our program director's in the studio. He gets a little confused sometimes.
Yeah,
but, you know, I'm concerned. The other station is silent now. So maybe whatever hit us hit them. Okay. Well, they're working it out now, and I'm talking to you on the Internet. So this is, I guess, the chance for people on the Internet to prove that they matter. Yeah. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872, as they work out the technicalities in the background.
Okay, I think RPUTX 000.
Hear that technical talk? It's amazing. So this is interesting because
AT power OK on the dots.
In all the time that I've done radio, this is the first time I've ever actually done radio without doing radio, because I'm not on the radio, I'm on the Internet.
Okay.
And I got to say, it's not the same thing. It doesn't feel like the same thing. There's something about having your voice transmitted out over the ether. You don't know who's listening. You never know who's listening. We're on the air? You know, I was kind of enjoying this.
All right. Anything else, Frank?
All right. So that's it for... I have tuner patched out in case that's confusing anybody. All right. Well, great. We're back on the air. For those of you who are tuning in now, wondering what happened to us, I don't know. What happened to us? Do we know what happened?
Something fried.
You know, it's been happening a lot. It was that weird thunder rolling through.
Frank.
It was a lot of rain, a lot of thunder, a lot of electric in the air, and WUSB was hit by it. So if you're just tuning in to us over the FM waves, well, welcome back. We're back. You missed a little bit of the show, and the people on the Internet didn't. So maybe you should consider going to the Internet instead. It seems to be more stable than the air. All right. And if you want to listen to the show, what you've missed so far, www.2600.com/offthewall. And, of course, you can also go to wusb.fm and listen to all our archives there. I have tuner patched out so I could get it on there, so maybe you want to pull that. See what it says, tuner?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if that affects anything else.
All right, we'll find out.
All right. Okay, so we're back on.
Lightning.
All right. Lightning did it.
Right.
Great. Well, I lost my cable modem for like 8 hours today. I don't know if that has anything to do with the same thing. Thanks, Danny. Thanks for
Cheers.
The update.
No problem.
All right. So we are going to take phone calls today. I guess we have to go on delay since we are now subject to FCC rules again. For a brief time, we weren't, you know. It felt good. It really felt good. But you notice we didn't fall into anarchy and pandemonium. You know, the FCC was not ruling over us for a few precious moments there, and we managed to make it through. Oh, my God. What does that say? Yet another federal agency not needed. Okay, so 9/11. This is September 11th. I guess the curse has been lifted, and we're actually broadcasting over the radio. Hard to believe. Let's see what's going on in the world as far as memorials and things like that. Relatives of the September 11th victims bowed their heads in silence on Tuesday to mark the moments exactly 6 years ago when hijacked planes crashed into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a Pennsylvania field. The dreary skies created a grim backdrop and a sharp contrast to the clear blue of that morning in 2001. It's interesting, too, because I was awake that time, too. I'm never awake in the morning. That's something you have to realize. And I was awake that morning right when everything started to hit the fan. Today, for some reason, I woke up at that exact time, and I just thought that was kind of weird. And then I realized that the power was out and the cable was out and all sorts of weird things were going on. And I guess somehow that wakes you up. And that, attached to the jet lag I'm feeling and the overall confusion of being back in this country after being out of the country for a couple of weeks, it just has made for a very strange and rather somber day. So, yeah, they had the memorials again today where the World Trade Center once stood. And the politician showed up and said various things they're expected to say. National Intelligence Director. How many of you know who the National Intelligence Director is? Nobody? Nobody. Wow. Okay, National Intelligence Director Mike McConnell said U.S. authorities remain vigilant and concerned about sleeper cells of would-be terrorists inside the United States. We're safer, but we're not safe, he said on television this morning. He said that Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorist network intends to have an operation in the United States that will result in mass casualties. We have stopped some efforts, and we must stop all efforts. We're not sure we can stop 100% of them. You know, every time I hear one of these buffoons speak, it just it curdles my blood. It really does. Because what they've done, they've created this this atmosphere of fear and watching each other, having to have surveillance cameras everywhere. I don't know if this is new. I just walked into the Student Union building here at Stony Brook today. I counted 6 surveillance cameras inside the building. You know, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just because I've just got back from London and Singapore and places like that that I'm looking out for cameras more than I usually do. But I don't remember there being cameras staring at us in the Student Union building. And that seems to be a theme all over the place, where we need to have this ever-watchful eye looking over us, somehow keeping us safe. And it's nonsense, because it doesn't keep us safe. It doesn't do anything except monitor our every movement. And think of the many ways that can be used against us. It can be used by private detectives to prove that you're having an affair, or by people who say that you skip school. Oh, yeah, okay, things you should be caught for, I guess. Yeah, okay, if we want to be all moralistic about it, then I suppose we have to all start being perfect people now. But it's scary, it's sad, and we've lost something. We've lost something that existed somewhat before September 11, 2001. And now, we live in fear, we continue to live in fear. Nothing has happened since then in this country, other than the hijacking of our government and our values by people who, I don't know how they can live with themselves. I don't know how we can live with ourselves for just letting it happen. But we have. We have. We've invaded countries around the world under false pretenses. We've taken away civil liberties. We've installed cameras all over the place. And we've convinced our children to be afraid all the time. And that, to me, is not exactly standing up courageously against the evil of the world. That is embracing it. That is becoming it. And it's really disgusting and sad. Now, the latest story you might have heard in the last couple of days, a national security advisor. Did they even name this this person? Oh, they do. Okay. Francis Townsend. Francis Townsend said Osama bin Laden is virtually impotent. Yeah. This proves something that I've long suspected, that it's all about penises and sizes and use and all that kind of thing. That's what it's all about. That's what the first Iraq war was about. Somebody insulted President George H.W. Bush's manhood. He had to prove himself. And now apparently by insulting Osama bin Laden, yeah, that's a smart thing to do. That's a smart thing to do. Now he's not going to feel any kind of pressure to prove his manhood by doing something even more, I don't even know what the word is for it, but it's insane that we have people walking around saying stupid things like this, and the media, of course, spreading it around everywhere. This comes right after, or pretty much at the same time that Bin Laden released a new video. How about that for a build-up? There's been more of a build-up to the release of this new Bin Laden video than to the release of a new Britney Spears album. Everyone's saying September 11th. Get it at your stores now. The new Bin Laden video will be out. Yeah. Al-Qaeda said yesterday, in fact. And how did they say this? I think we might have a way of finally knowing this, which I'll get to in a moment. Al-Qaeda said on Monday that it will release a new video of Osama bin Laden presenting the last testament of one of the September 11th suicide hijackers, marking the 6th anniversary of the attacks. I guess they're spreading it out over time. You know, kind of like they spread out the Star Wars movies and various other things that you just wish they'd release all at once. But yeah, apparently bin Laden plans on doing this over a period of many years because there were 19 hijackers altogether. And so far, we've only had, what is it, 7, 8? I'm sorry, I'm not keeping track. Last year, a 55-minute video with the last testimonies of 2 hijackers was released. And today, one more. Now, okay, the bin Laden video has surfaced. I don't have a copy, and I was standing outside online at midnight where I was supposed to, and they said that there weren't any more left. So if anybody out there knows where I can get one, please let me know. A new video purportedly featuring an introduction from Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden was released today, the 6th anniversary. It featured the logo of their media company known as As Sahab. We'll get into that in a second. It's a 47-minute videotape. Now, get this. This is off the Cable News Network website. The 47-minute videotape was obtained by terrorism expert Laura Mansfield before it was to appear on several Islamist websites known for carrying statements for Al-Qaeda and other radical groups. So, in other words, this Laura Mansfield, who apparently CNN has some kind of a contract with, because I'm always seeing her name bandied about on their channel and on their website, apparently, she was able to get a hold of bin Laden's tape before it showed up on the site that distributed bin Laden tapes. Well, doesn't that strike you as a bit odd? How in God's name did this person get a hold of this? She's not telling us. She just gets a hold of these things. And we claim Al Jazeera is a spokespiece for Al-Qaeda. By the way, I saw Al Jazeera when I was in Amsterdam. I've been so many places since I've been here live. Actually, I think I was here live for 1 week in between a couple of trips. And actually, I'm going to be away next week, too, and the week after that. So it's been a crazy summer of traveling. But when I was in Amsterdam, I happened to watch the English channel Al Jazeera. They have an English channel now, which, for all intents and purposes, is banned in the United States because nobody has the guts to carry it. Nobody will dare. And when I was watching Al Jazeera, I was impressed. It was not at all what we've been told it is. A lot of fundamentalist preaching doctrine and propaganda being spewed about. No, it wasn't like that. In fact, Fox is more like that than they are. It was a rather well-balanced look at world news from all over the place. They had a sports report. They had a half hour for sports. They had a half hour for business. I mean, it's interesting and it's vital for us to see perspectives from other people, from other cultures. And having just come back from a Muslim country for the first time in my life, I was pretty much blown away by how amazingly peaceful and friendly the people are towards people who look like me, people from America, people who obviously aren't the same as them. Very pleasant, very nice, very peaceful place. That being Malaysia, of course, there is not any kind of conflict going on there at the moment, but it's something I think everybody should experience. Go someplace completely different. Go someplace that people tell you is the enemy and see for yourself. I guess that's sort of the theme of this year for me. I went to North Korea, now a Muslim country in addition. But anyway, getting back to the bin Laden video, the 47-minute videotape obtained by terrorism expert Laura Mansfield, somehow. And doesn't say anything else about her. It just says that she obtained it. That's all it says. The rest is just a news report about the video. I guess this is through her words? Is that what it is? All right, it must be. Okay, so in the 14-minute introduction to the video, a voice identified as Bin Laden praises 9/11 hijacker Walid al-Sheri from Saudi Arabia, who sat in C-2B on American Airlines Flight 11, which crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. How do we know his seat number? That's pretty interesting. The voice speaking in Arabic is heard over a still picture of Bin Laden and contains English subtitles. The balance of the recording, you know, I'm listening to myself on air now, and I sound weird. I sound really weird on the air. Okay, for those of you listening on air, do we sound weird? Let us know. Definitely problems with the transmitter and with lightning and weather and 9/11 and things like that. But if we sound weird, stick with us, okay? We always sound weird. We might sound a little weirder today. And if you're listening to us on the Internet, maybe we sound normal. I don't know. But we do welcome your phone calls about September 11th and various other things. We're going to be taking them in just a few minutes, and I hope we get a bunch because this is the only show for a little while we'll be able to take phone calls. So anyway, the voice speaking in Arabic is heard over a still picture of Bin Laden and contains English subtitles. The balance of the recording is a video will by al-Sheri. He was the seventh of the 19 hijackers to appear in such a will since the terrorist attack, so there's 12 left to go. And the voice and picture in the video sound and appear similar to a Bin Laden video released late last week. Oh, there was one released last week, too? Two videos. My goodness. Anyway, for several weeks, radical Islamist websites have been announcing that there would be good news soon from Sheikh Osama bin Laden. Not quite sure what the good news is, but crazy stuff. All right, so what we mentioned about the production company, this has been brought up in several news stories talking about the video, and I think it's being mentioned more now than it was before. But yes, Al-Qaeda has a media production house. They have they've actually matured quite a bit since 2001. They actually, instead of dropping off tapes at various locations, they now have a production house that makes the tapes and distributes them in various ways. The As-Sahab Foundation for Islamic Media Publication. And that means the cloud in Arabic, and sometimes written Asahab, A-S-S-A-H-A-B. And it's used for propaganda for the terrorist organization. They use modern technology to produce their video statements to the world. Earlier productions were above amateur level and created using semi-professional hardware and possibly entry-level professional software with a median level of expertise. However, the overall production level was well below what is considered the professional broadcast standard in Western countries. In addition to being released in Arabic, some published videos come with English or other language subtitles. More recently, the release of the 5 years after tribute, the Manhattan Raid, yes, they actually had a title for what they released last year, demonstrated a standard comparing favorably with the production quality obtained by major television networks some 10 years ago. Video and audio are usually crisp, and subtitles are, by and large, free of grammatical and spelling errors, and sometimes explain Islam-specific concepts. It's unknown whether this indicates a general increase in capability or a tapping of additional resources to produce what seems to be a kind of special release video. An August 2007 study by an independent researcher has revealed that As-Sahab may be using a technology similar to green screen to accomplish backdrop effects. It's amazing that all this information exists on these guys. As-Sahab, the media production house of Al-Qaeda. So I did a little research into this, and by the way, that explanation comes by way of Wikipedia. And the website for these guys is www.sahab.com. That's S-A-H-A-B.com. And you go there, and you pretty much have to know Arabic, because if you don't, you won't understand any of it, and there's no little British flag to click on to get it translated to English. So I'm going to the website right now so that various federal agencies will suddenly take note of WUSB. It loads right up, and you see all kinds of choices of things to select, but they're all in Arabic, so unless you know the language, you might not know what it is that you're actually getting. Now, something else I discovered is that they have a message board. They have a message board at www.sahab.net, S-A-H-A-B.net. And I suspect, based on some loose translations of some of the things being said, and I did the loose translations through Google Language Tools, which is definitely not the best way to do it, but it's the only way I had at hand. I would say that some of these posts are the source for what we keep hearing about, known as chatter. Yeah, you ever hear that phrase, that there's been chatter on Islamist websites and that we suspect there might be some kind of an attack? This is one of the sources. We finally found one. The media kind of kept tight-lipped on what these sources were, but this apparently is one of them. Now, it gets more interesting. It really gets more interesting. I looked up the site, sahab.com, found that it was registered to somebody in the country of, how do you pronounce it? Qatar? Qatar? It's really a debate. I'm going to say Qatar, because that's how they say it in the BBC. So it's registered to somebody with the email address of, I can give out an email address, right? I mean, it's Al-Qaeda, for God's sake. I don't care if I pissed them off. Baksab, B-A-K-S-A-B, at gmail.com. That's right, Al-Qaeda is on Gmail. They must have abandoned their Hotmail account and gone right over to Gmail. Baksab, B-A-K-S-A-B. Phone number. Okay, what? Why not? What the hell? Plus 974, the country code for Qatar. Qatar. 514-1777. Now, that might be some innocent person who just registered the domain. I don't know. Or it might be somebody who's standing in the same room as Bin Laden. Who knows? Then I did something else. I decided to do a trace route to this particular domain and see where it actually wound up, see what country the site with the Al-Qaeda production house, media production house, and the bulletin board with all kinds of comments from people engaged in chatter that raised the ire of our national security agencies. So I did a trace route. That basically, on the Internet, you're able to plug in a domain name, such as sahab.net or sahab.com, and by following the bounces, it'll start with your computer, then go to the router, then go to your ISP, Internet Service Provider, then keep going from there. It'll hop all over the place, and eventually, at the end, it'll wind up at the machine that you're trying to trace route to. And if you look at the hops right before it, you'll see various other machines, and many times locations are given in the names of those machines. So, what do you think these guys are located? Saudi Arabia? Iraq? Malaysia? Try Dallas. Dallas, Texas. Yeah, the last hop before going to sahab.net was dallas-datacenter.com. Oh my God, isn't that something? There's an Al-Qaeda box sitting in a data center in Dallas. It strikes me as very improbable that I'm the first person to discover this, that perhaps the government has known about this for quite some time, and it strikes me as extremely dumb, naive, and stupid, if you are a terrorist organization bent on destroying the United States, that you would put a computer with your communications in the United States, where it could be privy to all sorts of extra surveillance and seizure and having all sorts of files be obtained by the people you don't want to obtain them. Wouldn't you keep it in a country that we don't have jurisdiction in? Doesn't that make some sort of sense? So, I don't know. What do you make of this? That's kind of weird, don't you think? I think it's pretty weird. Sahab.net, sahab.com. Anyone out there knows Arabic, I'd sure like to know what's actually happening here. Okay, I'd like to talk about September 11th. It's 6 years after, 6 years ago today. Actually, about this time, I was standing in New York City, about 6:34 p.m., I was on a bus. I remember now. I was trying to get to Off the Hook because we were on Tuesday nights back then. And we were on at 7 o'clock. And I was trying desperately to get into the city. I left from here, left from Long Island, and somehow was able to make it into the city. I remember driving on the parkways and expressways, seeing signs. I believe the Long Island Expressway was closed except for first responders. They had a little LED sign that said that, first responders only. So you had to take the parkway if you wanted to get into Queens. And then after Queens, you couldn't go any further. You just couldn't get any further west. So I had to park my car in front of somebody's house in Queens and then walk over to one of the main streets, like Northern Boulevard, Queens Boulevard, I forget which. And it was very weird because they had buses. They had city buses that were blocking entire streets, just parked sideways. I don't know why. It made no sense to me, but apparently they were trying to keep cars from moving in whatever way they could. So they had city buses blocking various major intersections. And once I finally made my way to one of the main streets where there were buses actually running and picking up passengers, I hopped on one of them and found out that they weren't even taking fares. They just had the box covered. So that was kind of strange right there. I was able to take that to Flushing and hop on a number 7 train, which actually, surprisingly, was heading into Manhattan. All the radio reports were saying, it's impossible to get into Manhattan, don't even try it. And here I was on a number 7 train that wasn't even crowded, where people were basically sitting and reading the newspaper while the smoldering ruins of the World Trade Center were visible from the window. I found that to be incredible. Struck up a couple of conversations with people on the train about how these are basically pigeons coming home to roost, things like that, how our foreign policy made this kind of thing inevitable one day. Horrible, but unfortunately inevitable, as it will be again someday, I'm sure. And eventually it made it into Grand Central Station, the station at Grand Central, and just got out there and just walked down downtown as far as I could. At some point I got on a bus that was heading, I believe, to around Houston Street. That's as far down as it went. And from there we had to try to walk to Wall Street. I was with a couple of other people at this point. And it wasn't until we got to the station, to the building, shortly after 7 o'clock that we realized that the station was, in fact, off the air, just like this one was earlier. May still be. No, we're not. We just sound weird. And we weren't able to do a radio show that year, that day, unfortunately. But I'll never forget actually standing there outside the station where everything was completely covered with the remains of the World Trade Center. Cars were half an inch thick in the dust and ruins, which was all over that part of town. And it was simply incredible. Okay, let's try to take some phone calls. We can hear your memories of what happened on that day, your thoughts about what's happening today, where we're going, what the future holds, that kind of thing. Since we're back on the radio, I do have to go into delay, so let me see if I can do this without messing it up too badly. All right, I've got those in the right position. I'm going to switch this over here. I'm going to press that button, and at the same time, I'm going to do this.
The 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, the machines rock.
I did it again. I pressed the wrong button, so you're going to hear a little bit of a confusing sound while we wait for the delay to come around. But I'm making sure that that we are actually in delay. And we are in delay. Okay, great. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And let's... oh, great. Everybody hung up. We had phone calls, and they all... You know, this is driving me crazy, the way things go here at this place sometimes. 631-632-9872. That's our phone number. Please give us a call. September 11th. We want to hear your thoughts, your memories, your opinions, your theories, various other things like that. This whole Iraq business, just getting worse. Did you guys see Petraeus on TV yesterday? Testimony by General David Petraeus, where he's basically, this is incredible. This is the most amazing doublespeak I think I've ever seen. Basically, and the media is swallowing this up, 30,000 troops could come home by next July. In fact, on the CNN webpage, it said, Petraeus, troop withdrawals by year's end. He never even said that. He never even said anybody's coming home by year's end. He said next July. And that's what we're talking about, a withdrawal in force, a reduction in forces by July of 30,000. Folks, 30,000 was the amount that they raised the troops by in January. Do you remember that? But that was the surge of troops, and now all they're doing is reversing that by next July. It's not a reduction at all. It's not a reduction in any sense of the word. It's pathetic, and the lack of sustained opposition to this is really incredible. Something I can't get my head around. I really can't understand it. 631-632-9872. We only have about 20 minutes left. And we'd sure like to hear your perspective, your voices. I know we probably sound like utter crap if you listen to us over the radio. And I'm sorry about that. We had some kind of lightning strike today. But we're broadcasting over the Internet. And we sound fine there, so there's no excuse. 631-632-9872. Is September 11th something people don't talk about anymore? I don't think so. It's all I hear everywhere. Come on, conspiracy people, call up so that we can argue about that. We can argue about how it wasn't really airplanes that crashed into the World Trade Center and how it was all set up by the government and various other nonsense like that. Let me just set it straight, okay? I do believe the government is complicit in all this, but not something so stupid as planting explosives and setting the whole thing up. First of all, it doesn't make any sense to plant explosives in a building that you're going to crash an airplane into. I mean, isn't the airplane enough? Sure, it does make some kind of a statement, I think. You don't need the... It's overkill. Plant the explosives somewhere else. Blow something else up. It's a silly theory. Now, I'm not saying don't ask questions and look for things that aren't right, because there are plenty of things that aren't right. But some of the conclusions I'm hearing, wow. I mean, it just takes away the emphasis on the things we should be emphasizing. It's sad, because people think that those who question what's going on in the world are a bunch of nutcases who think the government is behind everything. Now, what they did, they certainly jumped on the situation as soon as it happened and used it to do all sorts of draconian things, unforgivable things, like passing the USA Patriot Act, spying on our phone calls and Internet activity, trying to get library records and creating torture chambers in Guantanamo Bay and invading innocent countries. Yeah, all of that is stuff our government is guilty of. And the foreign policy that led to this kind of thing in the first place, yeah, they're guilty of that too. So as far as that goes, yeah, you could say they set it up. They laid it all out for this inevitable thing to happen. But as far as actually flying the planes by remote control or sending a missile into the Pentagon, ask yourself, what happened to the airplane then? Where'd the airplane go? It had to go somewhere. I've heard reports that say the airplane landed in Cleveland. And apparently everyone's being held in a bunker somewhere. Who knows? Okay, apparently there's no listeners? Nobody's out there? Are we not on the air and not on the Internet? Am I talking to myself? It's pretty sad and incredible that we're here at a full-power radio station and can't get anybody to call us to talk about September 11th on September 11th. 631-632-9872. Don't make me beg. All right, good evening. You're on the radio.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Hi, how you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brazil.
Oh, wow. Our signal gets all the way out there, eh?
Yeah. Internet, the sound is fine.
Okay, that's good. So those callers out there who aren't calling, call up. 631-632-9872. So what's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about, 9/11, and I really do think the government of the United States actually did it. I don't know if I can argue for my position, but, well, I'm just calling because you wanted people to call about that.
Well, what tells you that the government did it, that they were behind it?
Well, actually, the evidence on the day of 9/11 is what lead me to that conclusion. I mean, I think the official version really didn't account for what happened, and a lot of things are completely absurd in the official version.
Such as?
So I discarded that, and discarding that, I thought, for it to be like that, that should have a cover-up, and the only one that could possibly do the cover-up was the United States government.
Okay, but what are some of the things that don't add up?
Well, you know, the way the World Trade Center collapsed and Building 7, and also not showing any wreckage of any plane in the Pentagon, I think it's the main.
Well, you know, I've seen a really good report on the Nova series that interviewed many engineers that explained why the World Trade Center collapsed the way it did. I don't know much about building collapses, granted, but the pancake effect of it simply going straight down seems to be something that buildings of that nature were designed to do upon demolition. I'm sure you can get people to disagree as to how a building should collapse, but if you accept that premise that these building engineers aren't in the pockets of the government and are telling the truth, well, then that's one thing that you can put aside. As far as number seven, that building had been burning all day long. It had diesel fuel stored inside it for some kind of an emergency. That's the report I got, which is why it was burning so long. And whether or not it was taken down by the authorities, I'm not sure about that, to be honest. But it could have been a decision to take it down, because otherwise it would just keep burning forever. And as far as the Pentagon, I don't know. We haven't crashed very many airplanes into the Pentagon to see just what happens to them. But for every single witness to be lying about it, for nobody to have any kind of video tape of something else hitting the Pentagon. Keep in mind, the Pentagon is in full view of a shopping mall across the street. Somebody would have gotten it. Somebody would have gotten something contradictory if it was a complete lie. So, you know, I think it's good to ask a lot of questions, but at some point, though, you have to ask, is this credible? Is this something that actually makes a whole lot of sense in the bigger scheme of things?
Well, what I can say is that the official version is even less credible. I mean, if you think about the Pentagon, why didn't they release the pictures of an airplane? I mean, you're asking why they haven't released the pictures of something else, but, you know, we all should see the plane hit in the Pentagon. I mean, there should be hundreds of cameras around the Pentagon itself. Why don't they release those? And I've heard that videos from places around the Pentagon were collected by Secret Service, too. And, you know, arguing about the collapses of the planes in the United States, what I really think is that I really disagree with the engineers you quoted. I mean, I don't think buildings would be designed to collapse in any situation. And you mentioned the possibility of bringing down building number 7, but that's absolutely impossible. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to bring in demolition explosives in the building while the fire is going on? I mean, it's impossible to make a decision to demolish something, especially, you know, from one minute to the other, especially during 9/11.
Well, that is a good point, and that's why I kind of suspect that the building collapsed on its own after burning all day.
But it didn't burn all day. It burned for a few hours, and that just doesn't happen. Buildings that high don't collapse because of fires like that, especially buildings with steel frame, you know, structures and things.
Okay, but then, all right, even if you accept all these doubts, what is the conclusion? That's what I always have trouble with. The conclusion seems to be that crashing the planes into the buildings wasn't enough, that they had to have all kinds of explosives in addition, and that nobody saw anybody setting up all these explosives, which must have taken a whole lot of time to do, right?
The conclusion is that there is an obvious cover-up, and the only entity that could do the cover-up would be the government.
I don't know. They haven't had a good track record with cover-ups in the past. You know, they tend to always be discovered. There's somebody who talks. There's some bit of evidence is always left out there.
But if you think about, you know, there's a lot of doubts about Oklahoma and Kennedy and all that. But other than that, things like, for example, the Manhattan Project was a huge project with thousands of people, and it was kept a secret for almost a decade or something, and nobody knew about it.
Right. Well, that didn't involve killing thousands of people, though, thousands of civilians.
But it involved, you know, building the bomb that would kill millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's good to ask a lot of questions, and I encourage you to keep doing that. But I assume you're also casting the same suspicious eye on the people who come up with the conspiracies, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
And if you look at those conspiracies, you see a lot of disinformation. I mean, people saying there were no planes on the Twin Towers, or, you know, just crazy, or, you know, crazy things. But you know, if you look at the facts and you try to investigate things, you see that you can't really trust the official version.
Oh, no, I'm not saying trust the official version by any stretch. I'm just questioning some of the theories that have been put forth. Anyway, listen, I want to thank you for your call from Brazil. We have a bunch of other calls now, so you sort of got the ball rolling.
Okay.
So thanks for calling. And let's go to another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Eric, what's up? I was looking at, what was it, CNN or whatever, and they were talking about how families of the victims need to move on and get over it, you know, and I don't understand how they can expect people, you know, that lost, you know, families and friends to, like, ever forget about that.
Well,
no,
you can't on a personal level. Of course, you can't just get over it and move on. But at the same time, we as a nation have to move on. There should be something there at that site by now. It's been 6 years, and they haven't
done
anything.
Well, that's another thing, right. They've had plenty of enough time to make something. They keep saying they're going to make something, but it's still, you know, what's the problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there should be a huge building there. Not this ridiculous thing that they want to build that's 1,776 feet high and with a spire that you can't even go up to the top of. They should have something much, much bigger than that as sort of a real memorial. But it just seems like we're overly cautious and bureaucratic, and it just is taking forever to do anything.
Right. Well, you know, I was kind of offended because, like, I didn't know anybody personally, but I do watch, you know, the names every year, you know, being announced and the people, whatever. And, you know, I don't know if I was in that position. You know, I just can expect that people... They tell people, you know, people's families to get over it. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think
the people who
get over that.
The people who say that are impatient with things like, I guess they wanted to be on the building site and stop construction, and maybe they identify these people as being part of the cause of things taking so long to rebuild.
Right, and then you have the problem of the workers that have been working there and getting sick with the asbestos. You know, that's another issue. You know, a lot of these men and women that have been down there for, you know, all these years getting sick, and, you know, the government doesn't want to help them medically. You know what I mean? I think it's just a pretty messed up situation.
Absolutely.
And I saw, you know, I just feel, you know, Bloomberg was there today giving an announcement. I really don't feel like they give a crap about these people. You know what I mean?
Well, that might be a bit unfair, but they are certainly taking advantage of it. And I think this should be a time just for the people, not for the politicians. I mean, I know they're Giuliani was there. He played a very important part in the whole thing.
Right.
But he's also running for president. And
it makes him look good.
Yeah, you can't discount that it's being used for political purposes. So
exactly. Yeah.
I think that should just be forbidden.
For that.
Yeah.
Hey, good evening. Have a good evening.
Thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. I was just calling to ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I wanted to know, I just heard a little bit about a man named Robin White. He was a traffic controller.
Okay.
And I heard a bit of it on Democracy Now, and I didn't catch it all. And I was wondering if you knew anything about what his take on it was. Obviously, it's something to do with, you know, what's going on, the testimony that the government was involved.
He was an air traffic controller on September 11th?
Yeah, his name was Robin White, and I think the man that wrote the book, The Scam, 9/11, The Scamming of America, I forget his name now. I requested it from the library. But so I was just calling up to see. I figured, these guys probably know a little bit about.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know the name, and I don't listen to Democracy Now! Every day.
Right.
If you could tell us anything about what you heard, that might be
Right.
It might be helpful.
I think his name was Romero, Anthony Romero, and he wrote this book, and it must be new because the library said they couldn't get it for me. Just was, you know, 9/11, The Scamming of America, and then, you know, you're not listening totally all the time, and then I heard something about this Robin White.
Right.
I'm
going
to go to the library, and they should be able to tell me something about it.
See, I believe we're being scammed, most definitely, but I think it's not as overt as many people are making it out to be. It's much more subtle. It's much more over the course of decades that we are sort of conditioned to believe certain things and to react in a certain way. And the way that people are reacting now is exactly the way the government wants us to react, by being afraid, by being trusting of authority figures, by wanting to put up cameras everywhere and report on each other and invade countries. That's really the scandal here, and I think it's being sidestepped when we focus on things that are very easy to prove one way or another.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, it's just great hearing your show, especially in these times. It's like, oh, my God, there's someone out there that's thinking, and he has the energy to be on the radio.
Well, thanks.
So I just wanted to call and tell you that, too.
All right. Well, it's always good to hear.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's going to do it for the call-in section of this program. Now, it's a live section of the program as I come back away from the phones. I want to thank those people for calling in and sharing their opinions on this 6th anniversary of September 11th, quite a day in the history of our country, of the world. And, of course, we'd like to continue hearing from you through email. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. That stands for Off the Wall. You can also listen to this show and back issues of this show at www.2600.com/off the wall. Couple of programming notes. Last week, of course, what did we do last week? We were coming from, I don't even remember where we were last week. Oh, yes, that's right. We were in Malaysia and Singapore last week. That's right. We did a special program from there. And we'd like to hear feedback on that. We'd like to hear feedback on the program from Germany and the program from North Korea. Now, next week is going to be interesting. I'm going to be away for the next 2 weeks again. Next week, however, will be somewhat of a departure from our normal format where we will be basically in 24-hour mode. We're focusing on a single day in the life of me and a couple other people as we attempt to find our way back to this country from Malaysia, which happened to take 24 hours exactly. So you want to tune into that a week from tonight, the 24 version of Off the Wall, I guess is the best way to phrase that. Okay, what I'd like to do now is go out with another Luciano song, because I still feel really sadly about this, and it's once in a lifetime, no, it's less than that, that a voice like this comes along, that a persona like this comes along. This is what was known as his signature song, known as Nessun Dorma, from the Puccini opera Turandot. The title translates from Italian to No One Will Sleep. And interesting thing about this particular tune, it was used in the opening ceremony of the 2006 Winter Olympics in Torino. And the last line is kind of a victorious line that says, "At dawn I shall win." So it was very symbolic then. And it was also used in 1990 for the Football World Cup as the theme song. It's Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. We'll see you in the 24-hour format next week and back live in this studio in 3 weeks. Have a good night.